Folks, if you love Mega like we think you do, do us a small favor. Join the Patreon. It's the number one way to support a small podcast like ours. The year we had was, well, I wouldn't say we didn't get our asses kicked with strikes and podcasting budgets getting slashed. So why not just head over and give it a try? You can do a free trial on Patreon. If that's not in your plan, at the very least, share your favorite episode of Mega with a friend and leave us a review and a 5-star rating on Apple Podcast. We'd love to keep going, and we can't do it without you. Thanks. I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but when my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I want to impress our new lady friends, Tiffer and Mickey, we don't even have to take them to a restaurant. That's because we have an entire freezer stocked full of ButcherBox, and that includes high-quality meat and seafood that we can trust. It's so convenient. It's delivered right to our doorstep, and there's always free shipping. I mean, where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Tiffer and Mickey love it, and so will you. At least one of them is always around asking when the new ButcherBox is arriving. Sign up at butcherbox.com/mega and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/mega and use code MEGA to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, Mega listener, here's your final warning. Our last live show of the year is in New York City at Caveat on November 12th. And good news, there are still some tickets left. And you can buy a ticket to watch the live stream as well. It's going to be a fantastic lineup with live music, so smash that ticket link in the show notes or at megathepodcast.com. Come join us live or virtually on November 12th.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here, Lord, we are here, and we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week we're giving our mega church a tiny family feel. Per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome your friend and mine, Mr. Gray Haas.
I'm all about that faith. Hallie, how are you?
That's awesome. I'm wonderful. How are you, Gray? How are your kids who come to Climax?
Hallie, I put together an amazing skit, Ooh. Comedy skit for my teens that came to Climax this weekend with one of the dads in Climax. It was his idea and I sort of executed it. Yeah, his name, and I don't like to name names, is Chittister Studevant. Oh. And Chittister and I came up with this great idea. Remember that amazing old comedy movie, Blues Brothers?
Oh, sure.
So we came up with an idea called News Brothers.
Awesome.
They were the guys that are sharing the good news.
That's so cool.
And so we put together the whole dance and everything to the song Soul Man.
Uh-huh.
And it was all about Christ. And we practiced this thing for hours, Hallie. We had every single move down, the
black
dance,
suits, the black ties, the fedoras,
the sunglasses. We looked so cool. And we came out and did the whole thing as the opener to a sermon that I was giving, a talk that I was giving on why anxiety isn't real.
Oh, that's
true. So cool. It was great.
Wow. How'd it go?
Well, Hallie, I was a bit disappointed with the reception because, all these teens were like, who was that and what were you doing? And I was like, it's the Blues Brothers.
Duh.
Come on. We're talking like Belushi, Bill Murray. This is a classic.
Doy.
And they just didn't get a great response. So I don't know, Hallie. Sometimes it's just so frustrating. These kids are just so dumb now with, you know, their cultural references.
I know. They really do like dumb stuff. And I know that our parents said that about us, but it just wasn't true. And now it is, because it's like these kids with the YouTube and everything, it's just they're speaking a totally different language. And honestly, it's an inferior language.
I know. I know.
What's Blues Brothers about again?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Oh. So what's going on with your friend Clay Mason Bannerman?
You know what, Hallie? I don't care, and I could care less.
Unified.
Oh, well, I mean, he went down to Florida for some kind of that thing he does every year in Key West. And I said, I don't even want to know Clay, because when he goes to Florida, he just turns into another person. And I don't like that person. And then the hurricane came and I haven't heard from him.
Oh, I hope he's okay.
I don't. But you know what? Maybe take it as a sign, Clay.
Well, I'll put him on the top of my prayer list.
I mean, God literally sent a giant storm, Clay, while you were there in Key West doing whatever you do, all that sin.
If that's not a sign, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it is a sign, Clay, if you're listening. Or if you're not, you're probably swept out to sea or something.
Oh, does he listen?
Does Clay listen to the podcast?
Yeah.
I guess I hope not. Anyway, how are you, Hallie?
Well, we've spoken recently about how people's tithes and offerings just haven't been cutting it lately.
Oh, really?
So I don't know if you heard, but Twin Hills Community Church just signed a deal. Great, we're going to make so much money on this. We just signed a deal with an app called Covenant Eyes.
Covenant Eyes.
And Victory App.
I have heard of
this. They go together. You can get Covenant Eyes for as little as $16.99 a month. And then I think Victory App is maybe like 30-something a month or 45 or something.
But totally cool. You got to check out the website. It's a really captivating website.
Yeah, these are real. Look them up. Seriously. But anyway, we're starting to push the Covenant Eyes and Victory App for our members. And so they're offering discount codes when people sign up. And anyway, if you haven't heard, what rock are you living under out there? But Covenant Eyes is this powerful app that monitors your devices, and it sends a feed of all your online activity to your ally, like your accountability buddy that you set up.
I love that.
And it goes to them through the Victory app. So you got to sign up for all these things. But just knowing that someone else is going to see all your online activity, hopefully it'll help Christians stay off the porno or get off the porno if they're already addicted or whatnot.
But well, I wouldn't put it that way.
You know, great. It just reminds me, I have had this sort of daydream or fantasy or whatever. I've been wishing for years that we could just put shock collars on everyone over the age of 12. I'm going to be honest, you know,
seriously,
just to shock the crap out of folks whenever they, you know, pull up porno or start an emotional affair or sexting somebody, or these teens with kissing and humping and grinding each other online or in person or whatever, all the gross stuff that kids want to do.
Oh, I know. Isn't it so sick?
I mean, to be honest, Gray, I would use it for everything from foul language to disobedience to posture.
Oh, right. And oh, I think they do have one of those for posture, but not for porn that I'd heard of.
I don't think dogs are terribly fond of shock collars. That's why I would never use one on my Frenchies or my corgis.
Oh, I'd really use one
but
on those.
I think it would be powerfully effective on adolescents and young adults, because I just really don't know how else we're going to fight these natural human urges and instincts. All I know is that when it comes to impure thoughts or anything pertaining to sex, we aren't supposed to talk about it. We aren't even supposed to think about it. So it's very hard to control it and understand it when it's so totally off limits in every way, shape, and form. But if technology can help us get a grip on helping people control their natural innate urges, then I say it's a God thing.
I think, you know, one of my favorite technologists is behind that, Peter Thiel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's so cool.
If you think about it, God used a cloud in the Bible to guide the Israelites. So maybe now he can use an app that's in the cloud or whatever. And I don't know. Would you wear a shock collar, Gray, to help keep your mind pure?
I bet Clay does when he's in Key West. No, I would not, Hallie. And I don't really need that stuff, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, just, you know, I just don't look at that stuff. But I guess my big question with something like that is, you know, who's on the other end of the shock collar? Like, you know, who decides to shock you?
I don't know. I don't know. I wish I could make it come directly from Jesus or powered by the Holy Spirit.
Well, I guess that's kind of what the threat of hell is, if you think of it. You know, it's like a shocking punishment that lasts not just a split second, but for all eternity.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I'm just wishing for a little more hell on earth.
Well, you should go to Key West.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Well, just like God directs our path, our guest today directs our actors. I think I'm not exactly sure what a special theatrical producer does, but we're about to find out. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Fred Bartross. Welcome to the program. How are you, my friend?
So great to meet you, Gray and Hallie. It's so wonderful to be working with Twin Hills. I'm very excited to meet the entire congregation, and this is the first step of me introducing myself to all of you. So very excited to be here. Wow. Thank you so much.
People, there are a lot of excited rumors going around about you because this is the first year that Twin Hills has hired an outside theatrical production company and a producer to work on the Christmas program, which I believe are rehearsals starting soon for that.
Yes, rehearsals start October 1st.
Okay, wow.
You can remember that because that's when the rent's due.
That's right. Isn't that right?
Sometimes people turn it in as late as the 5th without penalties.
Yeah.
But we have a good solid 2.5 months of rehearsal for the Nativity pageant this year.
Nice.
This is my first year working with Twin Hills, and... Yes, I'm excited to be there. I'm there all throughout the auditioning and through rehearsals and then through all of the performances. So I'm very, very, very thrilled to be working with this church.
Oh, that is awesome. I feel like you're a status symbol, honestly. It shows that we are leveling up. Our excellence and our programming is so important and such a high value.
Well,
and I mean, we get, you know, we're going to have over 54 services for Christmas. We're going to have upwards of 100,000 people seeing this program.
Yeah.
I mean, the pressure's on. Are you feeling good?
I am feeling good. The one thing I would take umbrage with is I don't think necessarily that you're leveling up as much as legally requested for my services.
I see.
It's something that I believe the church is trying to stave off preemptively lawsuits.
Oh, is that
and that's why I was brought in. I'm not necessarily a producer, necessarily. Basically, my job for the Nativity pageant this year is the technical term is intimacy coordinator.
Oh, wow. Okay. Cool.
Right. And I do this for Hollywood Productions.
Oh, wow.
Normally HBO. I've had a long time contract with HBO.
Cool.
I've done all of their shows recently. I've done the Game of Thrones.
Oh, no.
I've done Yeah, what's that one? Zendaya? I could never get her name right on set. What does she do?
Euphoria. I mean, I'm telling you, all my teens in Climax, they will not stop talking about it. And I'm like, it's absolute trash. I'm sorry you worked on it.
That's so flattering. Oh, no, I said that before you said trash. Okay. I'm sorry, that's not flattering.
Okay, well, maybe the content's trash. Your work, I'm sure, is great.
I'm not responsible for any of the content necessarily. Essentially, what an intimacy coordinator does is I'm an advocate. I'm sort of a liaison between actors and production. In the Me Too era, which started for a lot of people about 5-6 years or so ago, maybe for people in your neck of the woods, maybe it just started a couple of months ago. Essentially, actors on set were being thrust into positions that they were uncomfortable with.
Oh, okay.
They were in the middle of scenes, mostly love scenes, and either due to a frisky actor who wanted to improvise some unwanted touches, or a director on the day, as they say, asking the actors to perform acts that they were uncomfortable with. Mm-hmm. I am essentially brought in to coordinate that between the actors and the director and producers so that, you know, acting is still a workplace, and I want to make sure that it is as professional as possible and that no one is asked to do anything that they're uncomfortable with. No one is pressured into doing anything that they're going to regret later. And sometimes, you know, that extends to being a movement coach and or choreographer.
Cool.
Well, I want to dig into this a little bit because, and I just want to backtrack. I am sorry I said Euphoria is trash. It's more that that maybe certain elements are trash. I think it, you know, I think HBO is cool, obviously, but yeah, maybe just some trashy. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's, I personally don't think it's trash.
You don't think
if it were trash, it would be in a trash can.
Okay.
No, it's on HBO.
Or maybe on True TV or something like that.
Maybe, yeah.
Now,
TBS.
Right. So what about the pageant this year requires an intimacy coordinator? Because, you know, usually it's just kind of the angel showing up and telling Mary, hey, you're going to do this. And so what's going on there that we're showing this year that...
That's so naive. Anything can happen on set. I can give you examples from other churches I've worked with. I've been doing this now. I've been doing it not only for film and television, but I've been working with churches for their nativity pageants for several years now. And I'll give you some examples. So, for instance, the relationship between Mary and Joseph.
Right.
Okay, they're a married couple.
Yeah.
In the canonical story.
Yeah, yes.
Right. Yeah. She's very virginal. But they are a married couple. Now, you can't always luck out and cast a married couple because basically a lot of casting is by look. You want the Joseph to have that big brown beard.
Right.
You want Mary to have a very symmetrical face and to look no older than 17, 17 and a half. So you're casting for looks essentially. And if these two people are strangers, but supposed to play a married couple, what happens if during the nativity scene, they're there, they have the little baby, and Joseph leans over to touch his wife, to comfort her, to reassure her, to say, hey, great job giving birth. And he does so in a very familiar way to a married couple, but one that is unwanted by the actress playing Mary. I'm there to step in and say, hey, maybe don't lightly brush betwixt her shoulder blades.
Yeah.
Maybe just lean over and shake her hand and say, hey, congratulations on the baby. Whatever they're comfortable with. And what we're there to do is to make sure that everyone is just as comfortable as possible, as possibly can be.
Awesome.
And do you think sometimes it's a bit confusing if you say betwixt, because then they're going, I don't know what that means.
It is a little bit confusing. I'll usually refer them to the dictionary at that point, because I'm not going to change the way I talk. I feel like I should be changing minds, not changing my mind.
Cool. Wow, that is so cool. Now, Fred, this is something I've always wondered about, and as an intimacy expert, maybe you can shed some light on it. You know, when an actor or actress is a Christian, and they're a God-fearing, upstanding person, but they get cast in a role where, say, they need to, you know, peck someone on the lips, give them a kiss in a love scene, and let's say, you know, it's an actor who, let's say it's two actors who are married to other people, and then they have to kiss each other's face in a scene for their job. And I understand it's professional, but in the eyes of God, does that contract or that paycheck sort of negate the fact that, you know, you kissed someone who wasn't your wife or husband? I mean, how does that work in the eyes of God?
That's a great question. I'm not necessarily a religious person, but yes, I believe it's a sin.
Okay. Oh, wow. So that is...
That's why I encourage all actors to get out of any long-term relationships or marriages that they're in.
Yeah.
Because I truly do believe that to really get inside the mind of a character, you need to be free and unencumbered by any kind of entanglements. Because who knows what can happen there on set, and that's what I'm there sometimes to encourage people to do. Is a lot of times actors will not even know how to be intimate with each other, and that's where I step in and I say, okay, well, if I were in this situation, here's what I would do. I would, you know, lovingly cup my wife's breast, for instance, perhaps even absentmindedly play with the nipple. As if it's second nature, and something that has been done for years, if not decades, of married life. This is the kind of thing that we want to encourage people to do. But yes, I truly do believe that all actors should be as single as possible. I don't know why anyone gets married, quite honestly.
And are you married?
I have had 8 marriages, yes.
Oh, wow.
Not currently married.
Oh, yeah.
Not currently married.
But boy.
No, they've all been annulled. Oh, so lucky.
Oh,
okay.
Wow. Oh, cool.
8 annulments.
Wow.
8 annulments.
That's going to be a record.
I have to say, around the 6th time, the judge was like, it really feels like you're doing this on purpose. And I said, no, I was tricked into this. I was bamboozled. And he said, okay, I'm gonna give you another one.
Wow.
And then I had to go down to Mexico for my 8th.
Oh,
same judge every time.
Same judge every time. Well, it's a tiny town.
Okay. Wow. Well, you know what? It's been this way since the beginning of time. Eve bamboozled Adam in the garden, and females have been doing it ever since. So, you know, you can't say you haven't given it the old college try to be married. And I do hope that one of these stick or work for you. But you know what? The Apostle Paul stayed single, so there's something good about that probably as well.
Why was he going to Damascus that day? Do you remember?
Well, I believe he was going there before his conversion on the road to Damascus, he hated Christians. He was tormenting and torturing them, much like the way American Christian conservatives are the most oppressed people group on planet Earth today. But, you know, Paul was headed to, I think, torture Christians, you know, the way they used to do in the Colosseum.
To torture Christians. That's why he was going. Wow. That's a part of the story they don't really talk about.
They really
a lot.
Don't. You know, circling back, and I did want to ask, and I, you know, if this makes you uncomfortable, now I'm kind of learning the language, which I guess is, you know, you're supposed to ask people if they're uncomfortable. You're right. I only heard about this whole Me Too thing a couple of days ago, and I think I saw it on
TikTok.
What
happened a couple of days ago, if you don't mind me asking?
You know, this was really strange. Is I was hanging out with my new lady friend Malady, and she and I were, you know, on a really nice date at Fogo de Chao, and basically what happened is every time the meat came to the table, she didn't like it because she's vegan, and I was like, well, you've got to eat something, and the very attractive Brazilian server kept apologizing, and when he apologized, he would put his hand on the small of her back, and I didn't see anything wrong with that because I was like, look, it's a Fogo de Chao, it's another culture, so just let's roll with it. And for some reason, she got a bit uncomfortable and said, I don't like that. I'm not trying to do a whole Me Too thing. And I was like, well, Me Too. I thought she was saying meat too. So I kept ordering more meat.
Yeah.
And then he would touch it back and she would say, this is meat too. And I was like, I know this is also meat. And so it was just kind of this strange cycle of ordering more lamb. And then, you know, it was just a whole mess.
That's been a really big problem with the movement.
Okay.
is everyone, I would say 95% of the people assume it's meat too, and that it refers to second helpings of meat. And that it usually just trying to untangle that from people's perceptions is a big part of the movement. And it's something we're trying to get out ahead
of. That's great. Yeah. But I guess my question being, you know, are you how did you learn all this intimate stuff? Are you kind of taking your experience from your 8 annulled marriages and bringing that to the stage and going, okay, this is how we make it look real but respectful?
It's interesting how I got into this because I'm an actor myself.
You just don't look like it.
Oh, in what way? Is it my jagged teeth? Because I've heard whispers that I'm a butterface, which I assume means I have a very smooth, creamy face, creamy complexion.
Yeah.
But that's the smooth face,
but jagged teeth. It's kind of a juxtaposition. Strange.
Yeah. Well, I was filing them down for a local production of Interview with a Vampire, and what I didn't realize was I'd been cast as the part of the interviewer, the Frost to the vampire's Nixon. And I had sharper teeth than the actual vampire. And to be honest, this person who was playing the vampire was just, he just had the plastic vampire, like Halloween teeth, you know, and that was good enough for him. So I said, okay, well, let's do a True West kind of thing where we swap roles every other role. But so in any case, I was an actor. That's how, I still am an actor. You can see me in, you know those Flow commercials, the Progressive Flow commercials?
Yes, I love her. She's hilarious.
She's so funny.
Oh my goodness.
They're so funny.
I can't get enough.
I hope the campaign goes for decades.
I
die when she says stuff.
I hope the campaign never ends. That's the funniest thing I have ever seen in my life.
I'm actually tearing up.
I like a white lab coat now, just in general.
I'm crying at the thought that I may have seen my last one, that they won't continue them. They're so good.
Oh, really?
She's in the Super Bowl. I think it's better than most programming.
I love them.
Well, you can see me in the latest ones, you know, the John Hamm saga. Yeah, you can see me. I'm in the background when they're on a date at a restaurant, and I'm saying, excuse me, can I get your autograph, Mr. Draper? Because I had not read the script or didn't really know what was happening, I had assumed it was a reboot of Mad Men.
Oh, really?
And so I was calling him by his character's name. And
did that make the final cut?
So they took out the line. Okay. And I was shouting it so I could be heard on every lav mic, because that's the only real way to get bumped up, is to make sure they can't cut your line out. But I was shouting as hard as I could, but it turns out everyone went to Burbank and they just looped in all of their dialogue, and then they zoomed the frame in slightly so that I was no longer in frame.
Oh.
But I still got paid.
Oh, nice. So that's great.
Well,
that's what counts.
The insurance is still going.
Nice.
I have basically what's known as SAG barely legal coverage, which is you work the bare minimum.
I see.
Yeah.
One job, and then they cover one doctor's visit and one prescription as long as it's not recurring. So you really have to figure out exactly when you're going to go into the doctor. You really have to make it count.
This is why unions, I'm always like, unions are garbage. I mean, what even is a union?
Well, Fred, as a professional actor, have you ever found yourself in a sinful situation where you had to decide to sin on set with a female just for a paycheck?
Well, that's the thing, because the actor side of me thinks that this intimacy coordinator business is all just garbage, and it gets in the way of just what's thrilling about acting, which is being in the moment. And if you decide, like, hey, I'd like to rub up against her this way, then it's just, you know, improv, like if you see a good improv show sometimes and one of the male improvisers pretends to have sex from behind with one of the female improvisers. Okay. Like, that's funny,
yes,
right?
Totally.
That's funny improv.
Right.
And
that really cracks me up.
And she doesn't mind it usually because she knows how funny it is. But that side of me, the actor side of me, thinks it's garbage. But the intimacy coordinator side of me thinks that it's a really necessary tool in order to for everyone to be comfortable. So we're constantly at war with each other when I'm acting. Mm. So I'll do things like, oh, hey, I'm going to, you know, give you a little pat on the bottom and then I'll slap my hand away.
Oh, so you're doing it for her.
I'm doing both. I usually delineate left side of my body is the intimacy coordinator and right side of my body is the actor. And I usually do that because the right side of my body is the dominant side of my body.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the intimacy coordinator couldn't really stop myself if he really tried it, like if I really wanted to go for something. Yeah, sometimes I'll just like dip someone like, that really funny actor who played the Rasta man on SNL. He dipped Halle Berry and he kissed her on the lips on the Oscars.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
Sometimes I'll just do that in the middle of a scene.
Yeah.
And, then I'll say, I'll give myself a lecture.
Wow.
Afterwards and say, hey, you really need to clear that kind of thing before the take
oh,
begins.
Oh, good. That's good.
And I would even think, you know, that it's not the dip and the kiss that's probably the upsetting part. I would think it's the teeth part at this point where it's like, if I'm an actress on set, I'm probably not thinking someone with very pointy teeth is going to try to kiss me like this. So maybe that's the whole thing.
I was encouraged by my agent to close my mouth during the headshots. And that has really gotten me a lot of work.
Oh, cool.
I still get fired 75% of the time when I arrive and I open my mouth. But
I see.
The trouble is if I file them down to make them straight now, they're going to be like a third of a normal person's tooth.
Right.
So I'm trying to get tooth extenders for every single
sure.
one.
Oh, is that a thing?
But they're really, they're so expensive.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, ask me how much they cost.
How much?
They're about $10 a tooth.
Oh, yeah. That's
so expensive.
Yeah, that is steep.
And is that why he had some of the back ones removed? Because you're just kind of going for the front parts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I that was a separate issue.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we don't need to know it.
I thought they were looking for a new flipper, a reboot of Flipper. And this is so embarrassing. I had assumed that, you know, the blowhole on top of Flipper?
Sure.
I thought that was his mouth.
Yeah.
Really?
So I thought Flipper had no teeth. Egg on my face, I arrive at the audition and they say, well, first of all, no, we're going to cast a real dolphin as Flipper. What are you even doing here? And secondly, no, dolphins have a ton of teeth.
Oh, do they?
So I'd taken out all the teeth and it was just like, oh my God, Fred, nothing can go right for you.
As long as I have an improv expert here, I just wanted to ask you a few more technicality questions in terms of like,
sure.
if something is done because I normally, you know, I don't watch any improv just because, you know, it's typically not funny. And also, you know, it feels like improv is to acting sort of like what Scientology is to religion. You know, it's like, oh, that's just the weirdos doing the, you know, some such, you know, nobody really quite understands, but it seems to make sense to them.
Well, Hallie, I will just say one thing. Have you seen Bucket of Chuckles? They are Indianapolis's premier improv group, and I saw them with my friend Clay Mason
oh,
Bannerman, and they were so
funny.
They were so funny.
And are they a Christian
so
improv group?
I mean, they work clean, which
oh,
is awesome,
clean
but they
comedy.
Did have a funny bit where one guy kept saying honk honk and touching a lady's breast because she had these really kind of big ones, and it was so funny, and she was laughing, everyone was laughing, so it wasn't a big deal. You know,
oh,
they were like,
cool.
this is for the comedy, but Bucket of Chuckles, check them out.
Well, that's what
Yeah, no, if a woman on stage, one of the players, if something like that happens to her and she laughs nervously, like, ha ha ha, I know that I will seem like a bad sport if I don't laugh at this, that makes it okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody was laughing.
Well, she's clearly having a good time. So that would say do it more,
yeah,
probably.
Sure.
And that's what I wanted to ask, you know, if actors kissing is a sin, well, if an actor is also an improv actor, you said that something kind of takes hold of you when you're improvising where you're sort of out of control. You don't know what you're doing. So if you do maybe check out what a girl's got upstairs or downtown in the back, is that sort of swept under the rug in the sin department because it wasn't conscious or, how does that work?
I think you're misunderstanding me. It is a sin for that character.
Oh.
But not the actor
you
who's
see?
Playing the character?
No,
oh,
because if
I
you're,
see.
It is a sin. And this is why improv is so great, because it is a sin for an actor to take a scripted role where they sin. But if it's if it's a character improvising something in the moment, well, then all bets are off because that's just what the character would do in that situation.
Oh, that's
got
great.
It.
Yeah, and they're maybe not saved or they are saved, but that's their problem. So the character will be going to hell, to fictional hell.
I see.
Oh, that's awesome.
The one Dante wrote about, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well,
maybe that hell from the Sandman.
Yeah, okay. That is cool. And there need to be fictional consequences to fictional sin. I mean, that's just how it works.
That is really fascinating.
Exactly. Like To Kill a Mockingbird, that's one of the greatest examples of fictional legal work, where these fictional characters who did terrible fictional things, nothing like that really happened.
I see.
No, thank goodness.
They were sentenced to fictional jail.
Right.
And I'm assuming they're dead by now because most of the people who were around back then are dead now.
Yeah.
They're in fictional hell.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah.
And what To Kill a Mockingbird? You got to remind me. I don't think we have that in Australia. Was that?
Oh yeah. What birds do you have in Australia?
You know, we only have two birds in Australia. They're both land birds, and one's extinct. But
yeah, do you have? To throw a boomerang at an emu?
Oh yeah, that's very
okay,
similar.
Yeah. So it's the same plot.
Okay, great.
Well, speaking of meat too, and also, you know, fictional consequences inside the acting space, I was trying to watch Breakfast at Tiffany's this weekend with my kids because I thought this is wholesome, and I didn't see any problems with it, but my kids all seem to have a strange reaction to Mickey Rooney, who is one of Hollywood's most wholesome actors. He was playing an Asian, I think it was a landlord of the building or something, and my kids took quite a bit of umbrage with it. And I said, I think he's nailing it. I think it's accurate. It's funny. It's comedy. And they seemed to say, well, you can't do that anymore. And I said, well, if that's just chalking it up to another meet too, then I don't know what to say. I don't know what to watch anymore.
I mean, it's no flow, but he definitely has that it factor.
Yes. Yes.
You know, he was married, I think, 12 times, and all of them were murdered.
Is that
really?
Right?
Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
That
is so fascinating.
Isn't that interesting?
That is so fascinating.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, what kind of man is he that he attracted women who would eventually be
always
murdered?
Getting themselves
that
murdered?
That is so
yeah,
fascinating.
Very
wow.
interesting.
I mean, it's got to be a type.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
For sure. Definitely. And that was his type.
Yeah.
You know, I did want to ask.
He's in actor heaven and not actor hell.
I know. Oh, you know he is.
His characters are probably all in hell because the Little Rascals, they were, oh, God. Wasn't he in the Little Rascals?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah, he had the cute dog.
I think he was the main little rascal, wasn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. He was so little, though. He was so cute when he was a little toddler, acting his britches off.
Yeah. We couldn't be getting that wrong,
I don't
right?
think so.
No. There were so few actors in the beginning. There was Shirley Temple. There was Mickey Rooney. There was Bob Hope and, you know, maybe two more.
Yeah.
And they did all the roles.
They'll just swap parts all the time.
Yeah. And Jimmy Stewart, of course. And
Jimmy Stewart.
I can do one.
I do impressions.
Really? That is so cool.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I think I've Jimmy.
Jimmy Stewart.
Lasso the Moon Mary.
Lasso the Moon Mary. Christmas is right around the corner. Oh, what does he say? He says,
"An angel gets their wings."
Yeah. Give me my life. Christmas is right around the corner. Or something like that. I do impressions too a bit.
Good. Yeah.
So what I did want to ask about was when it comes to the intimacy of the moment where Mary finds out from, you know, an angel that God is going to give her this awesome baby that's going to totally save the world. I think sometimes people are going, hey, wait a minute, where's Mary in the equation? And is that one of the moments that you've kind of got to get this actress going, hey, I'm totally cool with this?
Well, I'll give you an example, and this was with the Crystal Cathedral. I just worked with them last year on their nativity pageant, and their Mary, she was 15 and a half.
Okay.
Cast because she was stunning. She was just beautiful.
Yes.
She could have been a model. She was like really pretty, but didn't know she was pretty.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, which made her even more beautiful.
That's the best combo.
Yeah, but she was kind of, she was sort of like a manic pixie dream girl in a way as well. Like she would come in wearing boys' clothes with a lot of like male energy, and she knew cooler music than even men did.
Oh, great.
So she was really interesting. And we explained things like Shakespeare to her and, told her about all the great movies she should watch. And it was just really fun working with her.
I love that.
But it was really fun. I'm so glad that you're relating. But, she was 15 and a half, like I mentioned, and she got cast because she did a dynamite audition. She did Night Mother, a monologue from Night Mother, where she played Southern, and she had just I felt like it was a really authentic Southern accent, but I wouldn't know because I've never been to the South. But I thought it was really authentic. But she was basically telling her mother, you know, the famous monologue, like, "Mama, you shouldn't have done this to me. You're a terrible person, and now you're gonna die because I gave you all these sleeping pills or whatever. Good night, mother. Good night, mother." And she was so amazing at it, and so she got cast, and I was brought in as the intimacy coordinator, and I started working with her, and she was just very, very against the idea of even intimating to an audience that she would have had sex.
Ah.
She was just too young for this. So, or even have a baby.
Ugh.
So I was working with her and basically here's what I do. I go over to her and I say, okay, so you don't want anyone to think that anything has come in or out of your vagina.
Yeah, okay, I get it. Yeah.
We want to make you comfortable. What can we change this to? So we changed the baby to a nice a cheese platter. And she didn't want to be married. So we changed Joseph, her husband, into kind of her landlord. It was like a real Mr. Furley type.
Cool.
I don't know if you know Three's Company, but he was a nosy landlord. And so he was coming over and he was like, "Hey, what's going on down here? I hear a lot of guests are over," but it turned out she just had a cheese platter.
Oh, is that Jimmy Stewart again?
Yeah, in Three's Company. He was hilarious. Always stopping by.
"Hi, I'm Mr. Farley."
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
no,
he was so funny.
And you had the hot blonde one who was always squeezing things between her knees, and then the brunette. And, it's not good that a man was living with a couple of gals, but boy, were those pop-ins funny.
But he was a homosexual, so I think there was no temptation on his part.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, really? Way back then, there were homosexuals, huh?
I think that was the first recorded case.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay.
It was amazing. So we brought in the wise men and the shepherds, and I was like, "Hey guys, this isn't going to make any sense," because we had updated it as well into the 80s. We thought that was fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, everyone wore like Michael Jackson Thriller jackets
and
zipper pants. And we said, okay, you can't really be shepherds necessarily or wise men, so we made some of them members of the PTA, and some of them were like, you know, those gangs in the Michael Jackson Bad video.
Oh yeah.
We sort of, to be honest, the director really ran with it, and he stole the choreography from the Bad video, where they're holding hands and they each have a knife
then
they dance. It was really cool, and we called it Nativity, the Next Generation.
Nice.
TNG for short. Nice. And yeah, it was really fun. So that's the kind of thing where sometimes an actor's reluctance to be intimate in that way will lead you to even better ideas.
Well, and that's what I've always said, Hallie. It's like when one of my teens is being difficult about something, I go, "Let's just go with it and see what comes out." And a lot of times it's a better idea. And in this case, it's, you know, Star Trek meets Michael Jackson meets Three's Company, which I think is one of the coolest sounding Christmas programs I've ever heard. If you go to a glass church, you can't throw stones. And I think that is really, really cool.
Before we let you go, Fred, I just have one, and forgive me if this is too personal a question, but, as a married woman, I have to deal with intimacy issues once in a blue moon with my husband, Lance Labonte. And usually the way that I deal with it is just to make sure all the lights are off and I get into bed and, you know, something big and billowy. And then, you know, whatever happens, happens, you know, Usually I just try to be real passive and let him take his 10 and then it's off to
Hallie.
A snooze fest. But
I read in a Christian sex education book, and this is true, that this might help you, that you should imagine that his thing is a little tiny version of himself.
Oh.
So, and you like kissing your husband, right?
Sure.
So,
yeah.
And that way you can kiss him and it doesn't feel like such a betrayal of your values.
Well, if you look at Lance, it's not far from the truth.
That is so cool.
Oh, what does Lance look like?
Stocky, bald, with a birthmark on the top of his head.
Oh, okay. So, checks out.
Interesting.
But, and forgive me if this is too personal a question, besides slipping into bed with the lights out, you know, on his birthday or whatnot, may I ask, what is intimacy, you know, really?
Well, intimacy is any kind of conversation between two people or one person and an animal, which gets a little bit personal. So you just said to me, maybe this is too personal. Now we are intimate partners.
Okay.
You see, and we're in an intimate relationship. Yeah. And that's really, with acting, that's what you want, is you want that kind of intimacy between everyone. Look, there, you know, I would love it if everyone who is cast in these plays were in some sort of throuple situation, or I know that this isn't a Mormon church, but if, you know, everyone were in some sort of polyamorous relationship, so that everyone would be comfortable with each other. But the best thing we can do is the first day of rehearsal to become intimate is to sit around in a circle, and usually I'll do Zeep Zap Zop with them. And we'll do freeze tag. And anytime anyone's hands get near someone else's hindquarters, we yell freeze and everyone laughs. And it's very, very funny.
I saw great. Bucket of Chuckles do that and they were great.
That's great.
I bet they did it.
It was so funny.
They do it as their show, not just their warm up.
Oh, that's a huge part. They have a whole game that it's just that.
That's how it ends.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so
really
cool.
That's the climax.
They say freeze and they're going to try to touch each other's bums. It's really,
so
really
so
fun.
That's so cool.
Really
but
fun.
After
not as funny as Flo.
Yeah, no, Flo's the best.
That's our show, my friends. Thanks to Scott Aukerman for joining us. What a blast! He is so fun to play with, and I've been waiting for that one for a real long time. Check out his wonderful podcast, Comedy Bang Bang, and follow him at Scott Aukerman. And just in case you loved that episode and got a few good laughs, please consider supporting us on Patreon. For just $5 a month, you can help keep Mega going. I'm Holly Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.